do feelings of frustration, anger, and powerlessness affect a marriage? What can you do to better communicate your needs to your spouse? Find out today on Part 2 of this week's Loving on Purpose podcast with author and relationship expert Danny Silk and co-hosts Sherry Silk and Jared Cullen. Now let's listen in as Danny turns his focus to this young wife, her needs, and her response to her husband's need to feel powerful.
Natasha, when you are, you know, when you're needing to feel affection, which I would suggest is more than once every couple weeks.
I would agree.
You know, I mean, how often would you like to experience affection?
I mean, every day, yeah. You know, throughout the day. Because like, for me, it's normal. It's you know, where he would say, well, I wasn't brought up that way, or that wasn't modeled to me, and, you know, and have, you know, a list of excuses where I'm like, well, this is a new day, this is a new thing, and if you love me, then that should just come from you, like breathing, uh-huh. You know? Uh-huh. And so I think, you know, you touched on something about being safe. I think for both of us, we've had probably, you know, issues of not feeling safe, so therefore, like, I'm not going to express, I'm not going to show, and that childlike thing yet again becomes the safe place, yeah. You know, because I'm not getting my womanly needs, you know, feelings hurt, you know, and whatever. So, because I have communicated, you know, even with the sleeping thing, like, I always say that, and nothing's changed, mm-hmm. You know, nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, well, you either adapt or you're stressed out.
So how do you feel when he goes in the other room to sleep?
Well, because I'm such an adaptable person, I think it's kind of like, oh, wow, it's my time to hang out with the Lord, you know, and that's great. Or I can get some things done, you know, little emails here and there. And so it turns into more of my time of getting things done, as opposed to when I should really be in bed at 10 or, you know, hanging out with my husband. Mm-hmm. I think I've just kind of adopted and just kind of, because I always try to see things in the positive and make it work for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, well, I guess this is that time where I catch up on my reading or, but obviously on the inside, it doesn't make me feel great, mm-hmm. because so I would prefer to be with him.
Yeah. How do you feel when there comes the, I mean, you might have to kind of reach back and before you adapted and adjusted to this is the reality of my life. But if you could kind of go back and say, you know, when I see you go to another room, I feel
rejected.
I feel rejected.
Yeah.
I would imagine that at some level you feel abandoned. Mm. You know, like I have every expectation in my mind that a husband and wife are going to share a bed together.
Yeah.
And when I see you go to another room, I feel like I'm losing something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine that's, you know, that there's some anxiety there. Mm-hmm. And so that anxiety is really going to attack this connection, mm-hmm. You know, because I'm trying to tell you something. You know, Carmody, I'm trying to tell you I have a need. I'm showing you I need something. And you decided to not meet it. There's a great reason why. You're a light sleeper. Got it. But for some reason, you've decided to send me a message that you're not going to meet this need that I have.
And it kind of feels like forever because yeah. It's, you know, it's, we bought a king-size bed, Cali King, like we've tried, you know, mm-hmm. things that would help, but, you know, just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, you know, we have low levels of affection, we don't sleep together, and we've adjusted to that. So, I would suggest you readjust mm-hmm. quickly.
Yeah.
Because this is a reason, you know, I'm pointing at your baby here. This is a reason to continue in the same path.
Yeah.
Is, well, because of the baby. Oh, because of the baby. Oh, because of the baby.
Yeah.
You know, you're about to have your sleep interrupted severely anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think the bigger need here that's really going to be helpful is, as I begin to realize, I'm sending a message to my wife every night. What message am I going to send her? Because I have a choice. And for you to, probably you don't want to be hurtful. You're not trying to be a nag. You're not, you know, you're not trying to be negative. And so you've adjusted. How could you communicate that you need affection as much as you do?
More so than I do already.
Because he's going to say, Tasha, I need to feel the love.
Should I say the same thing?
you sure could. We could use that phrase back and forth.
Yeah, I could say that.
Okay, or I need to feel connected.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I like that better.
I need to feel connected. Okay, so these are, you know, just connected, love. They're just words that bring a whole bunch of meaning with them. Mm-hmm. You know, and that meaning is we value a connection. Our goal is to connect. It is not to not fight. Our goal is to connect. Is that true?
Yeah.
I probably should have started with that.
No, totally.
Is your goal to connect?
Yeah. My goal is to connect, but sometimes I feel that the connection could be unhealthy. Like it becomes like quite routine. Like for example, Tash. She'll get up in the morning and she'll want to cuddle. She want to do this. She want to do that. And it's kind of like I want it to be more organic rather than a routine that I follow. I don't know. Sometimes I kind of feel that.
So organically, what you've created is we sleep in separate rooms. We don't touch very much. Yeah. I don't. You know, I get affirmed occasionally. That's what you organically have created. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, I hope something grows in my garden.
Mm-hmm.
Organically.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I threw a watermelon out there one time, and I hope that it flourishes.
Right.
Well, you know, that's one way you could do it. Or you could intentionally create a new momentum in a direction you want to end up.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because it organically sounds healthy, but it's also how we tend to let fear shape us.
Right.
So we want to shape by love what we want to live in and what we want to raise our family in.
Mm.
So organically happens from a force.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to own which force it is that's happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you know that this lady, she runs on high octane affection.
Mm. Yeah.
And you want to put diesel in there.
Yeah.
Because that's what you've always used.
Yeah.
Then, you know, there's going to be, she's not going to perform as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if, you know, if you know that he runs on high octane affirmation, and you want to put water in there.
Mm.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
This starts breaking down organically. It breaks down to we're trying to be as safe as we possibly can.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
But what it cost us is the intensity of our love.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really amazing because I think, you know, like when we spoke with Miriam and we were talking about, you know, we just come back from being in Australia for yet another 6 weeks of being in separate rooms. And I think, you know, with the tone of voice and the communication, I mean, obviously it's resentment, you know, bitterness, whatever. It's like saying things. I listened to your communication dance CD about, you know, like, communication is like, you know, the manifestation of disrespect, you know, like, and so obviously when we have been on this journey of, you know, kind of, like you said, living a certain way that we've kind of adapted to, and we communicate and say what we need or what we would like to see happen, and it doesn't happen, that's going to manifest in how we speak to each other. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty cool that we're actually addressing probably more the root of why we've actually experienced that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's going to be uncomfortable in that, you know, what you've been doing has really become comfortable.
Yeah.
So for you to speak up, it's touching a fear that needs to go away. You know, when I tell you I need something, one of the fears is I'm doing something wrong. Mm. Especially for the affirmation guy.
Yeah, that's me all the time.
Yeah,
you know, if
I
she, you know, if she says, if you know, if she says, you know, I need to feel connected, he immediately thinks you're accusing him of something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
totally.
And he's like, okay, you can't kick into that mode. You have to realize, okay, she just asked me for love. Mm. I have it. Mm. I have it. I'm not aware that what she's feeling. You know, if she doesn't tell me she's hungry, I don't know. Mm. I don't know she's hungry. Mm. As soon as she says, I'm hungry, what do you start doing?
Mm. Making dinner.
I start looking for food for this girl.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because I love her and I want to meet her needs.
Yeah.
If she said, I'm hungry, and you go, oh, what's that supposed to mean?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't respond that way.
Yeah.
Because you don't take that as an assault.
Yeah.
She just gave you really great information.
Yeah.
And you adjust. You're like, oh, okay, well, let's get you some food.
Yeah.
She says, you know, I need to feel connected. You're like, oh, well, let's get you some love.
Yeah.
Because I got lots of that, and yeah, I want you to feel it.
Yeah.
So I'm not feeling connected isn't an indictment.
Mm.
It's an invitation.
Yeah.
Instead of going to child mode,
yeah,
it's an invitation.
Yeah.
Vice versa. You know, when he says, you know, I'm not really feeling the love right now. I just noticed it, you know. And you're like, instead of, oh, what? Like, I didn't give you enough affirmation today yet? You're like on the, what are you, the affirmation black hole?
Yeah, yeah.
So instead of that, it's just like, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got plenty of that for you.
Yeah.
Let me find some.
Mm.
And now you're exchanging what you really do carry for each other. And you put a big target and it glows, you know, it just lights up. And you go, oh, I know what to do when that target lights up. Because I don't experience what you experience.
Mm-hmm.
I need information to know that you're hungry.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I haven't been hungry all day. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you're not hungry. So tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me what you need and let me show you what I really do have for you. Because I really do have lots of love for you.
Yeah.
And this is going to help us connect. I love being connected to you.
Mm.
All right.
Now let's join Danny Soak, Jared Cullop, and Sherry Soak in the studio as they offer helpful insights and tips on the session we just heard.
Wow, the power of love languages and actually understanding them and knowing that other people receive love in a different way than you do, despite,
yeah,
you know, so far the world's been about you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
we run on different fuels.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Also, the I can totally relate to this, the feeling of failure or even anger or rejection whenever the one that you're married to tells you that they need something.
Yeah, I get all defensive.
Why does that happen? I hate it. I need to unplug that part of whatever's inside of me.
Yeah, it is the message that somehow if you need something, I've failed.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm,
I should have done that, or you expect that I should have done that, which is common in relationships, is if you loved me, you'd have guessed what I need and you'd have filled it.
Right.
Because you don't love me, that's why I have this pain. And that's how we communicate instead of
being vulnerable, and asking.
And both of those things lead to one of the worst sentences to ever hear in a marriage that comes out way too often. You just don't know me.
Yeah.
You did when we dated.
And it's the other part that happens, I think, is it's possible that you're going to get the same message the same time over and over in your marriage. Like, even though you would, you're trying, you know, totally. And then they're going to come to you again and say, I need something. You're like, wow, you told me this last time, you know.
Except you were really mean the last time you told me, so I'll react like you're being mean this time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's giving ourselves a break, too, I think, and realize I'm learning a new thing, and it takes time and practice. And
you love me, and you want to connect with
you love me,
and you care about my needs, and instead of thinking, you know, you're trying to kill me.
And it is breaking out of a cycle. You actually said, we need to be intentionally creating a rhythm that we want to live in instead of just continuing on the rhythm that so far hasn't made anybody happy.
Right.
Right.
Got to accept, okay, we're resetting.
Yeah, and it's the difference between ending up with a life and creating one.
That's so good.
And you were encouraging them to get a new normal for them, and they've, you know, we get into patterns and such. And I think what stood out to me in this session, just being a mom, was she's going to have a baby. And what happens is she has a high need for touch. And if it's not being met, all of a sudden the baby is going to meet that need.
Totally.
And then if I'm getting my need met from this baby who's going to need me more than anything else ever has, I'm going to start to not need you.
Yeah,
and that drives her toward him now. But if I get that need met with the baby,
yeah, wow. Especially if that baby's need is touch, you know, love language is touch, then so they got a little bit of time, and I hope they
just realizing
bump
that,
the affection.
Yeah, just realizing that, wow. I mean, I remember in our lives one time when we were disconnected, and then my brother moved close to us, and I started hanging out with my brother just as a friend, and you're like, I miss you. I'm like, what? It's my brother. And then I realized, oh, I'm totally meeting a need that's easy to fix with him, that's hard work over here. And just, but being aware of it, you're like, okay, that's, in the long run, not a good plan. Mm. Not a good plan.
Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, all right.
So we love our Facebook fans. Mm-hmm. We love all the people that write in and talk to us and ask Danny questions. And so we have some of those with us here, some questions with us. So, Jared, you got one of those?
I got one. I'm excited about this one. Mr. Danny, how do I respond to the passive-aggressive behavior and communication from my spouse?
Well, the first thing, you know, you need to do is learn how to reframe a question. You know, when somebody jabs you, it would be good if you just let them know, ouch.
Ouch, yeah.
You know, ouch. I think you're trying to tell me something, but I can't hear it when I feel hurt, or I feel accused, or I feel belittled. You know, are you trying to say... And then you rephrase it back in an I statement. Like, are you trying to say that you're feeling minimized, or you're feeling disrespected because I didn't fix dinner? And dinner really helps you feel important? I mean, is that what you're saying? Mr. Acts of Service, Love Language?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I'd leave the last part out. But I wouldn't say, you know. But you know, if I could reframe it in a way that actually sets it up to be effective communication by identifying a feeling, identifying what it's connected to, and seeing if you can discover the need. Some people are just so frustrated, and maybe they either come from a culture of sarcasm, a culture of passive aggressive. Then, you know, it's the only way they know how to communicate. So rather than deem them as evil because of that style of communication, I want to help set up the communication so that it is effective.
Yeah, I got what you were saying with the Mr. Service,
Access
Love
Service.
Language. Yeah, Acts of Service, Love Language. You know, what you're saying with that was actually the person is still in trying to figure out, even though they've just been stabbed, they're trying to figure out, okay, I'm thinking what your love language is. Okay, maybe it's been this. Is that right? Is that why that popped in your head there?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was thinking you should sort of unpack what passive aggressive even means. Like, what does that mean when someone's asking that question, but there might be people out there that don't know what that means.
Yeah, that's great. Classically, it's some sort of veiled comment, and it's usually veiled in sarcasm, innuendos. It's
code.
It's like, I can see that everybody else is important around here, but not me. You know, it's
Don't worry about me. Everything, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just over here.
Yeah. Well, bless your heart. You know, bless
the dishwasher's full. We're speaking of code.
Yeah. Well, Sherry really wanted clarity on this.
I guess I'm the only one in this house that knows how to operate a dishwasher.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever reason, nobody seems to understand how to close a door. You know, I mean, these are, you know, sarcastic jabs that are intended to send a message, but without any responsibility for what the damage that they're doing.
That's what it's just being a powerless communicator, really, I would think.
Yeah, it's just that communication style that jacks up anxiety, and I'm not really paying attention to the connection. I'm trying to intimidate people from me ever being upset about something.
It is a victim type role as well. Like, I'm passive because nobody's doing what I want, so I'm going to communicate it
aggressively.
Aggressively, yeah. But I'm still a victim.
Yeah, it's just a very ineffective way to get your needs met.
Yeah.
This concludes part two of this podcast. If you missed part one or any past podcasts, you can find them all on iTunes and at lovingonpurpose.com. Danny loves to hear from his listeners and readers, so be sure to connect with him on Twitter and Facebook at Danny Lee Silk. Join us next week for a new Loving on Purpose podcast. The Loving on Purpose podcast is recorded at Bethel Media Studios in Redding, California, by senior producer David Neronia, audio supervisor Chris Pacilio, and audio engineers J.M. Friedenmaker and Amy Ajimini.
And remember, everybody, keep your love on.